Hi, hello, how do you do? I just came by to say hello to you. What's up, guys? It's me, Dave D. Saints, here on Night at the Podcast. I was going to say Dave at the Podcast. It's been a little bit. I haven't gotten back to you in a while because I've just been really busy doing things, working. I work two jobs now. What else can I say has been going on? There's a lot of stuff that's been going on around the world. Obviously, I'm going to read to you. Or I'm going to tell you guys what's been going on since the last time we went on. It's just been a lot of controversy, a lot of craziness, a lot of stuff that's been going on, trailers that have been released. Obviously, we're going to go through some of the older trailers that I have posted on here, plus some of the new, and then I'm going to read to you some of the news. I have to look up what stuff. We're going to go with the history of Gene Shepard, because we're going to talk about the Christmas Story Christmas. So it happened this past Christmas season. So I'm going to read to you guys a little bit of the history behind where that came from. We're going to talk about, what else are we going to talk about? I'm going to talk about, Interview with the Vampire, the series that was released on AMC Plus. Which was a turn of events compared to what the Tom Cruise, Brad Pitt movie was like, and the Anne Rice books, where it went and all that stuff. So we're going to dive into a little bit of the history behind that and what movies had been made based on the Anne Rice novels and where the history is going. We're going to talk about some stuff with Lady Gaga and just other stuff that's been going on. Obviously, we're going to go right into trailer. Wait, first is going to be trailers, news, and then we're going to go right into recommendations, reviews and recommendations. But yes, just like always, we're going to start off with trailers, and the first trailer we're going to talk about is Dog, which I know that we saw the trailer, or we spoke about the trailer before, but this is the second trailer, which was due out Valentine's Day of a year ago. So we are, you know, currently going through that phase. So that part of the year, because there was a lot of trailers that were coming out around that year. We just went through Valentine's Day of this year. But yeah, two former Army Rangers are paired against their will on the road trip of a lifetime. Briggs, played by Channing Tatum, and Lulu, a Belgian Malinois, kind of looks like a German Shepherd, race down the Pacific coast to get to a fellow soldier's funeral on time. So it turns out that the dog used to be that soldier's dog, but I guess the funeral, the soldier passed away, and they have to, you know, Channing Tatum is given the task of bringing the dog to the funeral. But yeah, let's check out the trailer. It's a Valentine's Day trailer, which is pretty funny. But if any of the trailers that we're going to look at during this podcast, or I'm going to look during this podcast, and you guys are going to hear, I'll put it under the description box of the episode, and you guys can look at your own leisure, peruse at your own leisure, see if you guys want to watch the movie or not. This is more of a family-friendly movie, so maybe you can watch this with your family if you're listening to this. All right, so let's check out this trailer, and I'll give you my commentary as I watch the trailer. When I first saw you, Channing Tatum, ooh, with puppies. This Valentine's Day. It's not your typical love story. Channing Tatum's usually with a girl. Well, I guess this would be a female dog. Oh, shoot. Does that mean she's a bitch? This Valentine's Day story is complicated. Channing Tatum. And introducing Lulu. Still alive.
Exactly, hug.
Still a dog. Special sneak preview on Valentine's Day in theaters February 18, which already happened. We are currently on March, but then again, this happened a year ago, so no matter what, you are, you can watch this. I'm pretty sure it's on a streaming site somewhere. I don't know off the top of my head which streaming site it could be on, because I just don't have the material to tell you guys that. But I'm pretty sure you type it in online, and you'll definitely find a link to where to watch it. If you have those that streaming site, then there you go. You have yourself a good movie to watch. Okay, next trailer we're going to look at is called Sneakerella. Now, I remember when Disney Plus was releasing their slate of movies and TV shows that were coming out. I believe it was last year, but this was one of the movies that they didn't really put out a trailer for, or at least I don't remember seeing a trailer for this, or I don't remember them making a big deal about this. This is supposed to be Cinderella's spinoff. So it is a modern twist on Cinderella set in the New York City sneaker culture. And it's called Sneakerella. I have no idea what this is. I didn't see the movie yet. No, there's no real celebrities in this movie that I can see. I'm looking through the cast list and I don't see anybody here that's actually famous. But yeah, we'll check out the trailer and see what we think. Official trailer, Sneakerella on Disney Plus.
Once upon a pair of sneakers, there lived a boy who was full of creativity.
You don't believe that sneakers are a window to the soul.
If you put enough of yourself into a design, it's gonna
okay,
hit.
So he's a designer, a sneakers designer. Okay, that's nice.
It's my story.
From the studio that brought you Descendants, High School Musical.
You can feel as far away as a castle in the clouds.
Sneaker royalty.
Designed for the King brand? That's my dream.
We need to dominate SneakerCon. We need something big.
We need a new voice. Someone fresh.
Find a designer that speaks to you, tells a story. We'll try it out.
Now we just gotta find it.
Okay, the classic Resold. Resold as in like sneaker soul. Streaming May 13th, which was May of last year. Lace up. And a dream.
You put in the work, Ann. They're ready for the big night then.
Okay. A pumpkin. Pumpkin looking Mustang.
Wait a second. Did you design this? You're the guy that everybody's been talking about. I really gotta get him.
Oh, wow.
What would become of his dream?
This trailer's not that bad. This movie doesn't look bad. Oh, so it's backwards. So instead of the prince looking for the princess, it's the princess looking for the prince. Original movie streaming on May on Disney Plus, May 14th. Okay, I'm definitely gonna give that a try. That looks pretty good. I didn't know that. I didn't know that Disney had that movie, because it was kind of like it went under the radar. It didn't really speak volumes. Okay. I just don't really like movies that are made specifically for the streaming sites. I mean, sometimes they're hits, sometimes they're not. I like theatrical films, so I don't know. All right, so the next trailer we're going to look at is called Cyrano. And the trailer came out about a year ago, and it reads, "Too self-conscious to woo Roxanne himself, wordsmith Cyrano de Bergerac helps young Christian nab his heart through love letters." And this is the stars Peter Dinklage as Cyrano, and I believe that's the only real name known in this movie. Let me see. Yeah, so it's like an English film, But Cyrano was a poet, and he thought he was busted looking. So he found a man who was better looking than him, and he, since he was a poet, he was able to feed this man these words. And this female by the name of Roxanne fell in love with this man until she found out that it wasn't him who was feeding her the lines. And then eventually, I believe there's a happy ending because she ends up with Cyrano. But unfortunately, right now, he has to deal with him being a short person. But yeah, let's check out this trailer.
Cyrano?
Pleasure to meet you, Cyrano de Bergerac.
You're a freak. Freak.
My dearest friend would be very angry with you if you died.
All I gotta know is Peter Dinklage surpassed Warwick Davis in the best acting little person.
Someone like me and a tall, beautiful woman.
We have no money. A clever marriage.
Made his career because of Game of Thrones.
Love. Does that mean nothing to you?
Children need love. Adults need money.
From director John Wright. Is this a musical? Director of Pride and Prejudice, Atone, and The Darkest Hour.
I have a confession to make. I am madly in love.
Perhaps he feels the same.
But I've never actually spoken to him.
Of your love?
I think. He is Christian. Christian Nubile. He's a new recruit. You regiment.
Of course he is.
A woman like Roxanne wants wit, romance, poetry. I don't know how to speak romantically.
I am a poet. My words upon your lips. I will make you romantic. Will you make me handsome?
She loves me!
This December. I think they're both in love with Roxanne. Oh, this is a musical. Wow. It's a big production here.
You do in your letters.
You are a beautiful flower.
I am not a flower. I need more.
Experience the greatest love story ever told.
My fate is to love her from afar.
We must let her decide our fate. She must have the choice.
Cyrano. Now, a lot of people would say that a little person and a tall person, pretty much like a grown woman or a grown man, falling in love with a smaller man or a smaller woman is impossible. But I believe that that's not true, because Peter Dinklage is married to a full grown woman, a tall woman of regular height. Obviously, he has dwarfism. I believe that's what it's called. Dwarfism. And, you know, it has happened before where, you know, people of all different types and in sizes and shapes and all that stuff fall in love with other people. You know, we just never know what is entailed for a person. But yes, next trailer we're going to look at is called Vikings Valhalla, a follow-up series to Vikings set 100 years later, and focuses on the adventures of Leif Erikson, Freydis Harald Hardrada, and the Norman King William the Conqueror. All right, let's check out this trailer.
Did you just arrive from that storm?
I did.
And tell us your name.
Leif. Leif Erikson.
Where are you from?
Greenland.
I'm Harald Sigurdsson.
Why are you in Kattegat?
I've come to find someone.
From the producers of the acclaimed... This is on Netflix.
By the English
Vikings.
And I want to see if this fight is mine. What have you decided?
Vikings are preparing for an invasion. What do you intend to do?
Fight.
What do you see in this Greenlander? Maybe his courage. Courage is not rare here. This is.
You're a long way from home, Freydis. I'm on a mission to learn my destiny. Train her.
Alright, so a girl turned Viking warrior witnessed the rise of the Vikings who will become legends. I know this show is supposed to be gory and gruesome, but then again, Game of Thrones was similar. So I'm definitely going to give this show a chance. It's just I've been watching so many things, I can't really just focus on one series right now. This is Sparta. Okay, so this looks really beast, so I'm definitely checking this out. Vikings Valhalla. I believe Valhalla means like their own February 25th, their own heaven. I think that's what they believe, that if they die, they go to a place called Valhalla. And yeah, I guess they're ready to die for that. All right, next trailer is gonna be now. Honestly, this person we're gonna talk about. He's confused in a lot of ways, but I don't know if he's confused now, but I know he was. So I don't know what to say. But we're going to check out this trailer. It's called Jean Yuz Akange Trilogy. And it reads, follows the life of Kanye West in an intimate portrait as he builds his way from singer to businessman and becomes a global brand. Now, what you got to understand is that this trilogy or this, it's I don't know what it is. It's on Netflix now. Came after he's had his breakdowns or his rants. About 1 minute he was all about like the Illuminati with what's his name, Jay-Z, and all that stuff, and his albums were just very, I don't know, satanic, and his lyrics were satanic. And then all of a sudden, 1 minute, I guess he had a revelation or a breakdown, and now he's all about Jesus. And there's so much controversy with his albums and the outlook of what he's doing. So many people don't believe him. So many people do believe him. I don't know where I'm at with this man because I am a born-again Christian, but I don't know. I believe that he has a revelation, but I don't know where he's at within this revelation. I believe that only he knows and only God knows what his revelation has been. But yeah, they call him Yeezy, and it was because he was trying to be Yeezus, as in Jesus. So I don't know. Again, I don't know. I take everything that he does with a grain of salt. I am not falling for, I usually don't fall for stuff. I'm not really easily persuaded into believing. I'm a skeptic in sort of ways. But I guess we'll just have to wait and see how his story turns out. Let's look at this trailer. Trailer came out about a year ago. It's located on Netflix right now.
Hey, Kanye, how would you describe your album?
Man, I feel like it's a breath of fresh air. Then we got my man Kanye. Tracks, man, hold on.
Well, I first put the camera on this up-and-coming producer back in 98.
Sometime I made it down here, boy.
I knew he was destined for greatness.
From visionary filmmakers Cootie and something.
The goal was to see how far his dreams would take him, but I had no idea what life would take us next.
Let me explain my side of it, though. He gonna be one of the greats, trust me, the next greats. And what's fucked up is that when a nigga become great, people get hate.
It felt like the bigger Kanye got, the farther we grew apart. But there was more to Kanye's story that I needed to tell.
I'm interested in why you believe all of this has happened.
I just think it was in God's plan. I think he just has me here for a reason, that I have something to say. It's people that might be better programmers, better rappers. Where I think I really won is I had the heart.
If I do what I'm supposed to do, people gonna look back like, man, remember dude used to just make beats for people?
I would like to congratulate you on the good job that you did with me.
I didn't know.
Yay, West, hot, fire.
Yo, that's 21 years in the making.
I'm not gonna say it's not a way I could fail, but hopefully with God's blessings, it shouldn't be no way for me to lose, really.
Genius, a Kanye trilogy. Act 1 begins February 16th, which was last year. It's located now on Netflix, so you guys can check that out. They say that supposedly in order for him to get bigger the way that he was, the way that he got, was because he sacrificed his mother. Supposedly that's how you get big in regular showbiz and Hollywood. You have to accept either the Illuminati or the, I don't know what they do over there, that you have to sacrifice something to whoever the freak it is. I don't know how it works. There's a lot of people who've come out and they've spoken about the Illuminati, and they've spoken about all these different things, that in order to make it big in the business, you have to do certain things. I don't know exactly what it is that you have to do, but supposedly that's how it works. But supposedly he started his career by, you know, his mother and all that stuff. She was a believer in Christ. That's why he did a song called Jesus Walked. And he just kept bringing, like, as you saw in the trailer, or as you heard in the trailer, he was talking about what God has planned for him and all these things. I guess he decided to take, I guess he wanted to get bigger or whatever, and he did some things that he wasn't supposed to, and now he got really big, but then he started opening his mind. And I guess God or Jesus came back into his life. I don't know what he's going through, but yeah, supposedly that's what I'm assuming is the case. So I don't know. But right now he's all godly, and he's trying to bring the brand of Jesus or Jesus Christ into his world. He was married to Kim Kardashian. They had a kid. All this stuff. And, you know, Kim Kardashian's a well-known... she's part of the Illuminati. She's part of all that stuff. Just if you look her up, you see all the stuff that she's involved in now. They eventually got a divorce. And he's just... I guess I would just wait and see what happens in his life, because he's just doing a lot of stuff that is godly, supposedly, but I don't know. I'm not going to believe into everything. I don't believe the hype. But yes, next trailer we're going to look at is called The Weekend Away. It's a Netflix trailer or a Netflix movie. A weekend getaway to Croatia that goes awry when a woman is accused of killing her best friend as she attempts to clear her name and uncover the truth. Her efforts unearth a painful secret. And Leighton Meester is in this movie. Leighton Meester was one of the, I think it was a CW TV show. I don't know what show it was, but let's see. Leighton Meester, that's her name, Leighton Meester. So if it sounds funny, I don't know. Get her parents. I don't know why she named her that, but it's a weird name. But yeah, she was in Gossip Girl. There you go. Leighton Meester was in Gossip Girl, and she's been a crap load of, she was in The Roommates, Monte Carlo, Date Night. But yeah, let's check out this trailer. Came out about a year ago.
First time in Croatia?
It's beautiful. Whoa. 2 weekends away. With best friend.
Are you missing mommy?
I'm so tired, I just want to go to bed.
It took me months to convince you to come away. Who knows when we're going to do it again?
All right, so her friend ends up dead, and she's floating in like the river or an ocean somewhere. It looks like she wakes up in somebody's apartment, and there's blood.
Did you know something?
My friend. You think it was an accident?
Based on the best-selling novel.
Let's start with the details. Several people saw you and Kate argue.
So they argued at a club. She got drunk.
I can't. The police have taken my passport.
You didn't argue with Kate hours before she died.
It wasn't an argument.
Your story keeps changing.
Well, when you're afraid, I mean, I've been in that spot where I can't think when I'm scared. This March, which already, oh, it was last March.
What are you saying?
He's connected to organized crime.
You think I killed Kev?
I don't know. Who to believe? Oh my God.
Miles from home. Where do you turn? Who can you trust?
Is there anything else you haven't told us?
The Weekend Away. So yeah, that's located on Netflix right now. It came out March 3rd, which would be March 3rd of last year. So it's crazy how I'm going with these trailers according to the way that they were released. And we're actually around that same time right now. All right, so the next trailer we're going to look up is called Asking for It. Let's see what's this. Okay, so it goes right here. All right, so this is a Paramount Plus movie, I believe, because it's Paramount Movies and it stars Vanessa Hudgens. And who else is in this? Vanessa Hudgens, Claire C. Kermans, Alexander Shipp. Ooh, Ezra Miller's in this. Rhoda Mitchell's in this. Well, I haven't seen her since the movie, oh my gosh. Oh, is it Silent Hill? Couldn't remember her name for a second there. Luke Hemsworth, which is Liam Hemsworth's older brother. Alrighty, so synopsis reads, after a small town waitress is sexually assaulted after a date with her old friend, she befriends a mysterious stranger who introduces her to an all-femme gang. Oh gosh. This trailer released about a year ago, obviously, we're around the same time that these movies came out, so let's look at this trailer.
We all want to
understand betrayal. Some of us, it was a system. Maybe it was our families. Could have been a stranger.
This country on our backs. Now they want us to give up power willingly into the hands of people who are incapable of wielding it. Over my dead body.
Oh, so we got a feminist film here. Women against men.
There's some feminists who want to attack my event. I need additional protection.
She can be in a body bag for Sunday.
Has all the makings of a what? Fresh, awe-inspiring.
You don't know me.
The violence, you know it's going to come back to you. It always does.
Percy Clemens, Vanessa Hudgens, Alexandra Shipp, Ezra Miller, Gaborne Sidibe, Luke Hemsworth.
Come for your blood.
Remember, boys, be nice.
Asking for it. Alright, so honestly, that was one of those, like, I mean, it came out March 4th. I'm thinking that might have came out in the theater somewhere, but maybe a low budget theater. I don't know. Maybe straight to Paramount Plus, because it doesn't say it's on Paramount Plus. But honestly, it just, I don't know. It's one of those movies that you just want to hate. So it might be good. I don't know. I just don't like that they made it specifically like a feminist men versus women type movie. Because it just, I don't know, those movies leave me a bad taste. All right, so the next trailer we're going to look at is called Dying Light 2, Staying Human. And this is based on a video game. It is a video game. This is a trailer for the video game that I don't know if it came out. No, it did come out. No, we did. It came out. So this trailer was released about a year ago. So I think it did come out already. So let's look at the Dying Light, how zombie outbreak. Let's look at the reason, which is called Dying Light 2 Stay Human, The Reason official gameplay trailer. So this is a mature video game, mature plus.
We'll blow your head off.
Sweet. Love you too.
You better get it right. Now listen, Steve, don't try to warn anyone. I'm here.
I got the first game. It's like zombies and parkour.
No, who's me?
She's my sister.
Promise you'll never leave me alone here.
I have the first game. I haven't finished it though.
I don't have to.
No. Long time ago, Walt's hurt her. He took her from me.
It's like a zombie, zombie city, and you have to do missions. It's kind of like,
maybe I can help you.
Welcome to paradise.
Look around, Aiden. What do you see?
Something people outside the walls could only dream of.
Who would have thought the end of the world could be so peaceful? I wish Greg could have seen this.
The wall is not a sign of weakness to say you were worried.
Death is how we thank traitors. You never said you were working for Aiden.
I don't work for Aiden. I work for myself.
Yeah, we're all infected for our use here.
Most people are.
Those who are weak just give up.
Keep them busy.
Just stop caring about anything. Give up on life, but you. You still care.
Why move and he died?
It's like Grand Theft Auto where you have to do missions and all that stuff, but here you're actually on foot and there's zombies everywhere, so you have to avoid zombies and you're doing parkour.
I know what loss is like.
Talk to talking about someone in particular?
She trusted you.
And this game looks really good.
You pay for that.
3 against 1. I like those odds.
Count again.
Sometimes you have to become a monster to stay human.
Damn. Well, I mean, I gotta finish off part one. I have it there, but I haven't finished it. I love these games. This is how Hogwarts Legacy is, although this is a zombie game, and that you do missions, and Hogwarts Legacy just in school, Hogwarts. I got Dying Light 2, Staying Human. Gotta get that game. All right, next trailer we're gonna look at is called The Munsters. I'm not sure if I saw the trailer before this. If I've viewed the trailer with you guys before this, but I'm gonna be looking at it now. Obviously, this trailer came out last year. I mean, the movie came out last year. I think we did see the trailer last year around Christmas. I mean, around Halloween time. So it reads, reboot of The Munsters that followed a family of monsters who moves from Transylvania to the American suburb. Now, this was directed by Rob Zombie, who I'm not really fond of Rob Zombie movies because he always does satanic, always putting symbolism in his movies and all that stuff. And he's just like, I don't know, he's in love with death and all that stuff. But then again, he is one of those hard rockers and all that stuff. He always puts his wife, Sherry Moon Zombie, in it. And he tries to keep with the same group of people that do his movies. Jeff Daniel Phillips is also in his movie. Who else is in it? Oh, Richard Brake. He's always been in his movies as well. Who else? Cassandra Peterson pops up, who is known as Elvira in a lot of his other movies. But yeah, let's check out the trailer. I believe this is the second trailer that popped up. So let's look at this. A Universal Pictures production.
Rob Zombie, the director of House of a Thousand Corpses, Halloween, and The Devil's Rejects brings you the greatest love story ever told.
I don't like the sound of that.
So this was done for Halloween, and it came out on Netflix. I actually had an episode that I spoke about this. So you can look it up. I think it's something, a night with the monsters or a house party with the monsters or something like that.
Through my dead black heart.
I can whip you up a puppy down in the land.
So it is a comedy, and it's done in the tradition of the original Monsters TV show, which I'm planning to have a marathon on. It's about Herman Munster looking for his wife. So Herman Munster is like Frankenstein, and his wife is a vampire.
Special. I understand if you don't feel the same. I'm just a regular gal.
It's literally their origins, how they met.
If there's one thing I know, is that the rest of the world melts away as soon as you appear in my life.
It seems Miss Lily is truly in love.
Oh, come on, you know, and I
think
know
it's Lily Munster.
Greetings from Transylvania.
That's a strange way of saying hello.
Oh, I guess we're gonna have to get used to it.
The Munsters. All new movie coming September 2022, which came out last year. So you can watch it on Netflix. Enjoy. And the last trailer we're going to look at is called... Well, it came out, just recently? The movie hasn't come out. I think it comes out in the summer. It is the last entry to a long list of movies that have come out. This would be number 10th. So, yeah, it is Fast X, which is part of the finale of Fast and the Furious. So, this is Fast and the Furious 10. It says, Dom Toretto and his family are targeted by the vengeful son of a drug kingpin, Hernan Reyes. So, let's go.
I know that this road has been very hard. And yet here you are, building this magnificent farm.
I guess that's his mother, Dominic's mother.
Something little piece of him. He said, Dad, you're not afraid of anything. But I am. I'm afraid of losing someone I love.
Universal Comcast Company.
Dominic Toretto. You're about to learn all about fear.
Jason Momoa?
Life filled with love and family. I never got the chance. You stole that from me. My future. My family. And now, I'm gonna break yours.
This May. Aguja. Brie Larson. John Cena.
One of us might not come back from this.
And there are, they'll find them. They'll come back somehow. Supposedly Gal Gadot is coming back. Ain't too many came back with us. Went from the notorious. They'll find a way to bring them back.
Winning used to be about winning. We raced for respect. Today, I raced to stop the bloodbath. That's the problem with having such a big family. How do you choose the ones you save?
Let's race!
Bye. Or die.
What do you think?
It's showtime.
Here we go.
Game recognizes game.
I'm coming for you, son.
Let's fly. Here they come.
You will never be able to break my family.
No!
Fast X.
Good morning, sunshine.
You gotta be kidding me.
The end of the road begins May 19th. Yep, everybody. That's going to be fire like a freaking blazing building of mojones. I can't wait to see that. I already got my ticket. So did you get yours? Because tickets are out now. Sometimes on weekdays and wee. Yeah. All right, everybody. I'm going to go pay some bills and I will be back. Thank you. So let's get down to business. Something. What is this? See me. All right, everybody. So we are back. We're going to go right into it. So I want to talk about specifically A Christmas Story Christmas, which came out around the holidays of this past holiday. But there's a history behind A Christmas Story Christmas. Gene Shepard was the original writer of the original movies. He did a series of movies based on, I believe his name is, hold on 1 second. Excuse me, I'm trying to figure out his name. The Parker family saga. So he had a Parker series of movies. The name of the character is Ralph Parker. The Ralph Parker, I call it the Ralph Parker universe because he had a series of movies based on this specific character called Ralph Parker, which he based on his own, his name was Gene Shepard. He based it on his own family vacations that he took, or family stories, and he created a character named Ralph Parker. So his own stories, he based it around this character named Ralph Parker. So it's a series of movies, which I had no idea was like a series of movies. They're like short movies or like straight to family movies, or you can find them on YouTube. They're very old. I saw each and every one of them. They're all like family movies and stuff. I don't know if they were ever released on DVD or videotapes or whatever, but you can see the quality of these movies aren't so great. I guess the only real movies that are good is Christmas Story, The Family. I think it runs in the family, which is also renamed as My Summer Story. And Christmas Story 2, which was later on made. It was made later on after Gene Shepard had passed away. And there was a couple other movies that he did. Recently, they did Christmas Story Christmas, which was released on HBO Max. Obviously, it wasn't a Gene Shepard film, but it just furthered the story of Ralph Parker. So we're going to read a little biography on Gene Shepard, and then we're going to read the history behind some of the movies and stuff. And then until we get to A Christmas Story Christmas, which is the movie that we're going to talk about today. But yes, Gene Shepard biography, raised in Hammond, Indiana. Hold on 1 second. Let me just check something. Okay. So he was raised in Hammond, Indiana. Gene Shepard went on to work in the steel mills and was a veteran of the Army Signal Corps before entering the arts. In the 1950s, he began a long career as a radio personality, telling stories of his youth, commenting on current topics and performing silly songs. Shepard began his broadcast radio career on WSAI in Cincinnati, Ohio, in 1948. From 1951 to 1953, he had a late night broadcast on KYW in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, after which he returned to Cincinnati for a show on WLW. Shepard wrote a series of humorous short stories about growing up in Northwest Indiana and its steel towns, many of which were first told by him on his programs and then published in Playboy, the magazine. The stories were later assembled into books titled In God We Trust, All Others Pay Cash, Wanda Hickey's Nights of Golden Memories and Other Disasters, The Ferrari in the Bedroom, and A Fistful of Fig Newtons. Some of those situations were incorporated into his movies and television fictional stories. In 1960, he did a weekly television show on WOR in New York, but it did not last long. Between 1971 and 1994, Shepard became a screenwriter of note, writing and producing numerous works for both television and cinema. He was the writer and narrator of the show Gene Shepherd's America, produced by Boston Public Television Station WGBH, in which he told his famous narratives, visiting unusual locales and interviewed local people of interest. He used a somewhat similar format for the New Jersey network TV show Shepherd's Pie. On many of the public TV shows, he wrote, directed, and edited entire shows. He also wrote and narrated many works, the most famous being the feature film A Christmas Story, which is now considered a holiday classic. In the film, Shepherd provides the voice of adult Ralph Parker. He also has a cameo role playing a man in line at the department store waiting for Santa Claus. Much to Ralphie's chagrin, he points out to him that the end of the line is much further away. So when you're watching A Christmas Story Christmas, just know that the man who points Ralphie all the way to the back of the line is Gene Shepherd. So that's a little bit of an Easter egg that you might like there. 10 years later, Shepherd and director Bob Clark returned to the same working class Cleveland neighborhood to film a sequel, It Runs in the Family, later known as My Summer Story, released by MGM in 1994 with an almost entirely different cast from the previous film. The PBS series American Playhouse aired a series of television movies based on Shepherd's stories, also featuring the Parker family. These included Ollie, Hop Noodles, Haven of Bliss, the star-crossed romance of Josephine Kosnowski, The Great American 4th of July, and Other Disasters, in The Phantom of the Open Hearth. Now, I saw all of these movies. They're not always the best, but they do have some stars in there, like Matt Dillon and Jerry O'Connell. They make appearances in these films, like Charles Grodin. He's also in one of the films. They do have stars in them before they become stars. But the stories aren't always great, because they were like American Playhouse stories and they were like family movies and stuff like that. But you always get a kick out of these, especially since you hear Gene Shepherd's narratives over the films, and it kind of feels like A Christmas Story. There is a timeline on these movies to watch them. Like, I looked it up. There's a way to, you know, chronological order, because you see Ralph, I guess A Christmas Story Christmas would be the original one, and then would be It Runs in the Family, and then so on and so on, because you see Ralph Parker actually as he gets older into the other movies. So you would have to look up the chronological story in order to watch these. Some of the movies are kind of like reinterpretations of themselves, because you can see that in Christmas Stories Christmas, they utilize the whole idea of Ralph Parker's father winning the lamp. They use it again in one of the other movies, in like a summer type setting, and they kind of utilize other little things here and there. So but it's you know, it's nice to know that there was a whole universe behind the whole Ralph Parker family. So yeah, those were the movies that, or the TV spots that they released, which was A Christmas Story, Ollie, Hop Noodles, Haven of Bliss, The Star-Crossed Romance of Josephine Kosnowski, The Great American 4th of July and Other Disasters, and The Phantom of the Open Hearth. Now, these are all located on YouTube, so you can watch those at your own leisure. Later on in time, they decided to make A Christmas Story 2, which didn't have anybody of the original cast. Obviously, they all grew up before they made this. This was just like a couple of years ago. I think it was 2000. This movie released, I believe it was 2006. Nope, it came out 2012. So this was a sequel. Wasn't the best, but also you can put it in the chronological order, and you could see, you know, you could watch it how it comes out, how it was meant to be. Christmas Story 2, the film is a direct sequel to 1983's film A Christmas Story and ignores the events of the 1994 film My Summer Story. Obviously, it's going to ignore it because this is to do with Christmas Story. The film, set 6 years after the original, follows 15-year-old Ralphie as he wishes for a 1939 Mercury 8 convertible for Christmas, but crashes the car before he even owns it. Now Ralphie and his friends Flick and Schwartz must find a way to raise enough money to fix the car before his dad, the old man, finds out. Although billed as the official sequel to the trailer, the film is not directly based on Shepherd's writings, instead relying on an original script by Nat Maldin, who also narrates the movie in place of the late Shepherd. The subplot of Ralphie and his friends finding jobs and then getting fired was originally by Shepherd and had previously been included in the telefilm Ollie Hop Noodles Haven of Bliss, which starred Jerry O'Connell. In the film My Summer Story, it starred Kieran Culkin in the film. That's supposed to be the real sequel, but they kind of utilized the same story as Hop Noodles Haven of Bliss in Christmas Story 2, them getting jobs. The film was released straight to DVD on October 30th, 2012, to mostly negative reviews. Yes, if it's a family movie, I mean, you get the kick out of it. Kids will get a kick out of it. But for us, being that we grew up with the original Christmas Story, this was a horrendous film. Which brings us to A Christmas Story Christmas, which released last year on HBO Max. It is a legacy sequel to A Christmas Story, 1983, and is the eighth installment in the Parker Family Saga franchise. The film was produced by Billingsley and Vince Vaughn, along with Cale Poynter, Jay Ashenfelter, Mark Toberoff, and Erwin Zwilling. Sorry if I pronounced your names wrong. These are really hard names to pronounce. Billingsley reprises his role as Ralphie Parker alongside Ian Petrella, Scott Schwartz, R.D. Robb, Zach Ward, and Yano Anaya returning as Randy Parker, Flick Schwartz, Scott Farkas, and Grover Dill, respectively. Aaron Hayes, River Drosh, and Juliana Lane play Ralphie's wife and kids, with Julie Haggerty replacing Melinda Dillon from the original film, who just recently passed away as Miss Parker in the film. After the old man dies, Ralphie takes his family to his childhood home, reuniting with his mom and his old friends while being tasked to deliver a memorable Christmas. It was released on HBO Max. I'll tell you this much. Out of every film that came out after A Christmas Story, dealing with the Ralph Parker family, this was probably the most heartfelt film. It was an actual good sequel. It touches in your heart because this film deals, and this is spoiler alert, everybody, spoiler alert. You have 5 seconds to leave, go watch the movie and come back. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you've been warned. This movie deals with the passing of Ralph Parker's father, who supposedly passed away I forget what the timeline is, but I know that he dies recently. And this is going to be the first Christmas that they have with Ralph's father passing away. So he has to literally step into his father's shoes and make this a memorable Christmas, not only for him and his mother, but his family as well. So it brings back practically the whole, you know, cast of younglings in the original Christmas story back, and they get into their own little quirks and gimmicks. Movie was really good. It's on HBO Max right now, so definitely check it out. It's definitely worth a shot. I enjoyed it a lot. It won't be watched as much as A Christmas Story is, because A Christmas Story is memorable to me. I was a kid when I first saw that movie, but it's a definitely well-deserved follow-up. We're going to move on to the next bit that we're going to be talking about is Anne Rice's Interview with the Vampire, which was a follow-up to the original Interview with the Vampire, which dealt with Brad Pitt and Tom Cruise's characters. And later on, there was a sequel that wasn't approved by Anne Rice, but is still nonetheless was a sequel, and it starred Lestat, Stuart Townsend as Lestat, and it was called Queen of the Damned. So here's a little bit of history behind Anne Rice. Anne Rice, born Howard Allen Francis O'Brien. Wow. She was born as Howard? Or she was born to Howard? All right, whatever. October 4th, 1941, and recently passed away December 11th, 2021, was an American author, a Gothic fiction, erotic literature, and Christian literature. She was best known for her series of novels, The Vampire Chronicles. The first book became the subject of a film adaptation, Interview with the Vampire, in 1994. Born in New Orleans, Rice spent much of her early life in the city before moving to Texas and later San Francisco. She was raised in an observant Catholic family, but became an agnostic as a young adult. She began her professional writing career with the publication of Interview with the Vampire in 1976 while living in California, and began writing sequels to the novel in 1980s. Interview with the Vampire in 1994, it focuses on Lestat, played by Tom Cruise, and Louis, played by Brad Pitt, beginning with Louis' transformation into a vampire by Lestat in 1791. The film chronicles their time together and their turning of 10-year-old Claudia, played by Kristen Dunst, into a vampire. The narrative is framed by the present-day interview, in which Louis tells the story to a San Francisco reporter. The supporting cast features Christian Slater, Antonio Banderas, and Stephen Ray. The film was released in November of 1994 to mixed reviews and was a commercial success. It received Oscar nominations for Best Art Direction and Best Original Score. Kirsten Dunst was additionally nominated for a Golden Globe for Best Supporting Actress for her role in the film. A standalone sequel, Queen of the Damned, was released in 2002 with Stuart Townsend replacing Cruise as Lestat. Queen of the Damned, based on the third novel of Anne Rice's The Vampire Chronicles series, The Queen of the Damned, 1988. Although the film contains many plot elements from the novel's predecessor, The Vampire Lestat, a standalone sequel to Interview with the Vampire, 1984. The film stars Stuart Townsend, Aaliyah as the vampire queen, Akasha in her final film role, Marguerite Moreau, Vincent Perez, and Lena Olin Townsend, and Vincent Perez and Lena Olin Townsend and Matthew Newton replaced Tom Cruise and Antonio Banderas in the roles Lestat and Armand, respectively. I wrote that wrong. I'm sorry. I'm going to have to read that over because I'm not. The film stars Stuart Townsend, Aaliyah as the vampire queen, Akasha, in her final film role, Marguerite Moreau, Vincent Perez and Lena Olland, Townsend and Matthew Newton replaced Tom Cruise and Antonio Banderas in the roles Lestat and Armand, respectively. Okay, that's how it's read. So now we're moving into the modern interpretation of Interview with the Vampire that came out on AMC+. Anne Rice's Interview with the Vampire, American Gothic Horror and Vampire television series, created by Rollin Jones for AMC, based on the 1976 novel of the same name by Anne Rice. The series follows the vampire Louis de La Pont du Lac, portrayed by Jacob Anderson, who recounts his life with his maker Lestat de Lioncourt, portrayed by Sam Reed, and teenage vampire Claudia, played by Bailey Bass, to veteran journalist Daniel Molly, played by Eric Bogosian, accompanied by ancient vampire Armand, portrayed by Asad Zaman. The series embraces the homosexual elements of Rice's work, which are only insinuated to the 1984 film adaptation of the novel. It is the first television series to in Rice's immortal universe. Interview with the Vampire received a series order in June 2021 after AMC Networks had purchased the rights to intellectual property encompassing 18 of Rice's novels, primarily The Vampire Chronicles in 2020. The series was renewed for an 8-episode season 2 in September 2022, ahead of the premiere of its first season on October 2022. The first season received critical acclaim, with praise going toward the writing, tone, costumes, soundtrack, production values, performances, particularly that of Anderson and Reed, and chemistry between the two actors. Now, I guess since we're living in the day and age where everything is included, they decided to make this a homosexual series. In the book, it was said that vampires looked for companionship. Didn't have to be woman, it could be men, it could be children if they were vampires of a sort, but they decided to make this a full-blown homosexual series because it was about two male vampires, and they never did say that in the book that they were homosexual, but they decided to blow it up in this series that they were homosexual. So obviously, during this season, you're going to see a lot of homosexual acts and inclusion of all different types, because of the fact that that's what this world wants nowadays. Now, I guess in some ways it's a good series. I do like the book. I did like the original film, so I'm accepting of what we see in this film. I mean, in the series, which is a lot of homosexual acts. But all in all, if you look at it as just a series, you find it to be just a love story. I did get intrigued by the end of it. I want to see where it goes. And then I found out that there is an immortal universe being laid out here, which is connected to the Mayfair Witches, which I'm currently watching right now with, Daedaria, Alexandra Daedaria. So far, I'm intrigued by that series. She's a witch who didn't know she was a witch. And so far, she's killed a bunch of people. I believe the season's already over. You can also watch it on AMC+, but I'm definitely watching it right now. So that's what the history behind Anne Rice's Interview with the Vampire and leading up to the current series. And we're going to go right into the news. So there's an old video of a woman vomiting on Lady Gaga's chest that has gone viral. A lot of people keep thinking that that's new, but it isn't. It's a clip of a woman making herself vomit on Lady Gaga during her SXSW performance in 2014. So it's been 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, It's been 9 years since that grotesque display, and obviously Lady Gaga has gone through so many different grotesque shows, and she's made headlines many times before. So yeah, so this happened in 2014 and it has resurfaced online, and the bile hasn't aged well. Gaga at the time was 36, incorporated performance artist Millie Brown into her choreography for Swine at an Austin festival. The British upchucker stuck her fingers down her throat and regurgitated a nasty green liquid on the pop star's breasts during the set. Gaga continued to sing without missing a beat, later sharing a nauseating robotic pig ride with Brown. A video of the performance has gone viral again, thanks to the right-wing podcaster Elijah Schaefer tweeting Thursday, "Why are we not talking about Lady Gaga having a young girl vomit on her chest during a performance?" Societal Decay on Twitter user commented on the resurfaced video. "This is sick and not in a good way by any means," another vote noted. "Wow, so deep, so artistic. These people need to go," a third mocked. "Things are devolving fast in that world. Wow," another user declared. Brown describes herself as a vomit artist, and before SXSW stunt was best known for ralphing colorful milk on canvas to produce her rainbow pieces, with which she claimed sold for $20,000. Wow. She told Vice at the time that she agreed to work with Lady Gaga after turning down other collab requests because the mother monster understood what it was all about. She appreciates performance art, so doing that stuff live with her, with the kind of energy from the crowd, was really amazing, Brown explained. "It worked really amazingly with the song and the idea of purging all the bad energy and getting rid of it. Not everyone understood or supported Brown's visions for the performance back then and or now." Pop star Demi Lovato accused Gaga of glamorizing eating disorders in 2014, "Sad as if we didn't have enough people glamorizing eating disorders already. Bottom line, it's not cool or artsy at all," she tweeted at the time. Lovato, 30, has shared her eating disorder struggles over the years. She's even admitted her team once barricaded her in her hotel room to control her binge and purge tendency. Brown addressed Lovato's criticism in her Vice interview. We didn't glamorize anything. All of my performances are meant to inspire viewers to question the concept of classic beauty and femininity rather than perpetuate those standards girls and women are faced with every day, the ones that cause eating disorders in the first place. I don't know. This was grotesque. This is my opinion. This was grotesque. All that I just read was notes and you know, research that I did. But this is my opinion. It was grotesque and sick. Obviously, we all know that Lady Gaga pushes the envelope with her art, from what she calls. I just think it's putrid and disgusting. It isn't art. It's all a downfall of of society, pretty much, and what people deem as art and worthy. She obviously, as we know, there's something wrong with her. In the Christian community, we all know that she is part of the Illuminati and part of this satanic cult. A lot of young people, like kids and fans, think that it's all awesome and everything. They love her music, but her lyrics and all that stuff is just wrong, and people who accept it are pretty much accepting of this lifestyle and these lyrics and pretty much this whole Illuminatic satanic world. So I mean, more power to you guys, do your thing, but this was just disgusting to see somebody just pure. It's one thing to wear a lot of meat on stage and, you know, pretty much love and just blow up different types of obscene scenes during your music, like blood and gore and death and all that stuff. That's one thing, but just to have somebody puke on you is just disgusting. But yeah, go figure. That's the view, that's the video that's been going viral again, which was done in 2014. So I don't know. Moving on to Super Bowl 57. Super Bowl 57 capped a thrilling NFL season on February 12, 2023 at State Farm Stadium in Glendale, Arizona. The Kansas City Chiefs defeated the Philadelphia Eagles behind MVP Patrick Mahomes 38-35. The Chiefs were trailing 24-14 at halftime, but scored three touchdowns in the second half. Mahomes scrambled for 26 yards on a crucial play late in the fourth quarter that eventually led to the game-winning field goal. Yay! The Chiefs won. Nobody cares. A pregnant Rihanna delivers a glitzy Super Bowl halftime show. Rihanna returned to the stage Sunday night for a glitzy performance during the Super Bowl 57 halftime show. And while she didn't have any surprise collaborators singing alongside her, she did have a special guest by way of a new baby on the way, as she proudly showed off her baby bump as she performed. Reps of Rihanna confirmed to Rolling Stone that the singer is pregnant. In 13 minutes, the singer reminded the world of why she remains a musical queen, even when she hasn't released an album since 2016. Among her hits, she performed Bitch Better Have My Money as she floated on a platform alongside dancers in a stunning red outfit. Where Have You Been followed as fireworks lit up the sky. She sang Only Girl in the World. She showcased her vocal range as she brought things down on a notch. We Found Love as she descended to earth to dance on a field with her bevy of dancers. She gave the Navy all the hits, including Rude Boy, Work, Wild Thoughts, and Pour It Up. And she hit her collabs to Dropping All of the Lights and Run This Town through. Though she performed without any special guest before it culminated with her breakout song Umbrella, she once again stepped on the platform as it rose for diamonds. She thanked everyone as she gazed at the fireworks that punctuated the event. Rihanna's Super Bowl halftime show broke the record for most watched halftime performance in Super Bowl history with 118.7 million viewers. Add to that the amount of people across the globe in different time zones who watched the performance later, and you've got yourself a loot of opinions. there have been some shortage of other stories surrounding the pop star who had taken a 7-year hiatus from the music industry before the Super Bowl show. I'm sorry, I'm reading my notes and I'm like, I sound like I'm reading a teleprompter here and I can't act. With the much fame and attention, there is sure to be conspiracies and stories garnered. Fans have flooded the internet to wildly claim Rihanna held up an Illuminati sign at the Super Bowl, and eagle-eyed viewers even said that television footage tried to censor it by cutting away from her. She ended the 13-minute set by singing Diamonds as she soared into the air on a floating platform, and just as she finished the performance, she held up what looked like a triangle symbol with her hand. Social media users were quick to suggest that it meant Illuminati. One tweeted, "Rihanna bringing the Illuminati back full force to let's go." Another posted, "Rihanna just renewed her Illuminati subscription. We getting new music soon." And third said, "Rihanna really threw the Illuminati sign up the end of the Super Bowl performance." One wrote, "I wonder why this wasn't shown on live TV." Another tweeted, what they didn't show you on TV. And one more tweet read, "Not shown on TV, Rihanna flashes the Illuminati logo during the Super Bowl halftime show. The alleged gesture was, of course, shown on television briefly before cameras panned to a wider stadium shot." And the sign Rihanna made also resembled a diamond, which, given the song she just performed, would have been fitting. So there you go. There's a lot of controversy behind Rihanna's performance, being that she was probably just doing the whole Illuminati symbolism or whatever the case, but others try to see it as it was just a diamond. But who knows? I don't know. Well, moving on with further news, we're going to talk about some people who recently passed away, which were hard hitters in our, you know, public eye. Richard Belzer, the comedian and actor best known for his role as John Munch on the Law & Order franchise, died February 19th at the age of 78. Belzer began his career as a stand-up comic, but his most memorable role came as investigator John Munch in the NBC crime drama Homicide: Life on the Street, which aired between 1993 and 1997, before becoming a fixture on the long-running Law and Order franchise. Over the course of two decades, Belzer played the wisecracking investigator not just within the franchise, but in several other shows that spanned different networks, including The X-Files, The Wire, Arrested Development, Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, and 30 Rock. Raquel Welch, an actress who rose to fame as a sex symbol during the 1960s, died February 15th at the age of 82. Born Jo Raquel Tejada, Welch entered the zeitgeist with her roles as Cora in the 1966 sci-fi film Fantastic Voyage and Lona in the fantasy film 1 Million Year BC. Though she only had a handful of lines in the latter title opposite John Richardson, her memorable outfit, a risque deerskin bikini, turned her into an international sex symbol. She appeared in a steady number of films throughout the 60s and 70s, including The Queen's Bedazzled, Lady in Cement, Hanny Calder, 100 Rifles, The Three Musketeers, and cross swords. She won a Golden Globe for her work in The Three Musketeers in 1975. Other credits included Mork and Mindy, Evening Shade, Seinfeld, and most recently, Legally Blonde, American Family, and How to Be a Latin Lover. I just said that Melinda Dillon passed away from Christmas Story, so that's why. I think she was still alive when they shot the movie, so maybe she just retired the character. I don't know. Yeah. But Melinda Dillon, best known as Harried and Loving Miss Parker in 1983's A Christmas Story, died January 9th. She was 83, though she is most recognizable for her role in the holiday classic. Dillon had a long career and was twice Oscar nominated for her turn as single mom in Close Encounters of the Third Kind and as sheltered Catholic woman in The Absence of Malice. Dillon also earned a Tony nomination for her Broadway debut as Honey in the original 1962 production of Edward Albee's Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf. Other notable roles include turns in Magnolia, Bound for Glory, Slapshot, Harry and the Hendersons, and The Prince of Tides. Earl Bowen, a prolific character and voice actor best known for Dr. Peter Silberman in the Terminator films, died January 5th in Hawaii. He was 81. Bowen flexed his acting skills in over 250 different films, television series, and video games throughout the decades long career in entertainment. He is widely recognized for his performance as the dreaded Dr. Silberman in 1984's Terminator, a role which he reprised in 1991's Terminator 2, Judgment Day, 2003's Terminator 3, Rise of the Machines, and via archival footage in 2019's Terminator Dark Fate. R. Kelly sentenced to 20 years in child porn case, but total prison time only extended by 1 year. A judge sentenced R. Kelly, the once high-flying R&B star-turned convicted sex offender, the 20 years in prison Thursday on another set of sex crimes, including several child pornography charges. But 19 of those years will be served concurrently with his existing prison time, meaning only one year gets added to the ended of his previous 30-year sentence. Kelly, 56, was found guilty in September on 3 accounts of child pornography and 3 accounts of child enticement, but was acquitted of a 4th pornography count as well as conspiracy to construct justice charge, accusing him of fixing his state child pornography trial in 2008. He is already serving 30 years for his 2021 racketeering and sex trafficking convictions for New York. U.S. District Judge Harry Leinenweber ordered that Kelly serve 1 year in prison following the racketeering sentence imposed last year in New York. Prosecutors in a sentencing memo last week recommended Kelly serve 25 additional years and that serve it consecutively in the New York federal case sentence, meaning that the former music star would essentially spend the rest of his life behind bars. With Thursday's sentence, though, Kelly will serve no more than 31 years. That means he will be eligible for release at around 80 providing him some hope of one day leaving prison alive. Honestly, I don't think he's going to serve at all. I think something's going to happen. He's going to get out early, and that's going to be it, because these guys really never really serve the full, their full sentencing, because of the fact that they got money and they're part of the elite and they're taken care of. So I don't think he's going to serve his full time. But this has been a long in the coming. I mean, this guy was having sex with little girls and doing all this stuff. I mean, peeing on girls and girls peeing on him. I don't know. It's just, this has been a long time. I was way younger. I think I was in my 20s when this was going on, or my early 30s. So, I mean, it's about time. But yeah, we're going to make a quick transition and we'll be right back. Yo, we are back here to tell you about some recommendations. I should make a song. Reviews and recommendations. All right, so we're going to go right into my reviews and recommendations for this week. Obviously, I'm a little behind, but whatever. I will continue. Next week, we will be going into Star Wars Andor, which was a series that was released on Disney Plus, and we're going to be looking at Glass Onion, A Knives Out Mystery, which is the sequel to Knives Out, which was a film that came out in 2019, I believe, and it hit it big. And since the pandemic hit, they decided, Netflix decided to buy up Knives Out and do sequels on it. And it released not so long ago. The sequel was called Glass Onion, A Knives Out Mystery. So we're going to look into that next week or in the next podcast. But right now we're going to go into reviews and recommendations. And we're going to talk about The Babysitter, which was released on Netflix a few years ago. It reads, when Cole stays up past his bedtime, he discovers that his hot babysitter belongs to a satanic cult that will stop at nothing to keep him quiet, pretty much wanting his blood to stay young or something like that. It was a really good comedy, but it was a comedy horror, and it used a lot of like the hot stars around that at that time. But it's a definite good movie. It's on Netflix. Check it out. Next movie we're going to talk about is The Unforgivable, which stars Sandra Bullock, which is another film released on Netflix. I remember that it was supposed to come out to Netflix, and I remember going to Florida, and I went to Universal Studios, and there was a theater on the way to to Universal Studios, and it was showing The Unforgivable in the theaters. So it was in the theaters and then released on Netflix. A woman is released from prison after serving a sentence for a violent crime and re-enters a society that refuses to forgive her past. Great, great, great movie. One of Sandra Bullock's best movies ever. Continuing on, Tiger King, the Doc Antle story. So obviously Tiger King came out during the pandemic, and it was one of the biggest things to come out during the pandemic. So they tried to cash in on all of Tiger King's things. So this was a side story, which was kind of a spinoff, and it was the Doc Antle story. It unpacks the truth about Doc Antle, a private zoo operator. Witnesses come forward to share their stories of abuse and intimidation that set him at the top of the food chain. So if Tiger King was Tiger King is Joe Exotic. If Joe Exotic was up there, so Doc Antle would be like the next thing. He was up there too. There was a bunch of these people who literally owned all these tigers and literally used them to make money off. And these animals were treated unfairly and killed and all these different things. So Doc Antle was another one that did the same thing that Joe Exotic did. So if you're a fan of Tiger King and Joe Exotic and all that stuff, this is actually another, you know, documentary series that you should watch. Moving on. Here Comes the Boom, which stars... I forgot his name. He's part of the whole Adam Sandler group. Here Comes the Boom. Kevin James. Kevin James stars Kevin James and Salma Hayek. He is... Hold on. My mouth is dry. I need water. Hold on. High school biology teacher looks to become a successful mixed martial arts fighter in an effort to raise money to prevent extracurricular activities from being axed at his cash-strapped school. It was a good comedy. I mean, it came out a while ago. So you can find it on Netflix. I believe it's on Netflix. If not, just look it up online and I'm pretty sure you'll find where to watch it. And finally, The Shining, which stars Jack Nicholson. And it is a Stanley Kubrick film. I believe this was probably his last... No. Stanley Kubrick film. His last film was Eyes Wide Shut. A family heads to an isolated hotel for the winter where a sinister presence influences the father into violence while his psychic son sees horrific forebodings from both past and future. So me and my friend Maria were watching. We had started kind of like a Shining series because the sequel is Dr. Sleep, and I wanted her. We had just finished watching, I forget what it was that we had just finished watching that was Stephen King oriented. Oh, I think it was Stephen King's It. So that's why I decided to move it on to this. Plus, I believe Dr. Sleep was coming out later on that year. Or it already had came out. I think we were watching the movie. I don't know. But yeah, The Shining was the next, the next and last film of my reviews and recommendations. Great film. If you haven't watched it today, it's actually considered a horror. I think it's more of a thriller, I guess. But I think you can find it on one of the streaming sites. And yes, that has been my podcast for this week. Hopefully you caught it. If you didn't, definitely, stay tuned for the next podcast. Obviously, if you're listening to this, you caught it. I don't know why I said it. Hopefully you caught it. But yeah, hopefully you enjoyed it. Look forward to the next podcast. Just like Gus J. Sorrell 7. Oh, wait, hold up. If you want to follow me on all this, the social media, you can find me on Dave D. Saints or Dave _D _Saints or David Santiago. If you want to play video games with me, I am currently on Hogwarts Legacy PlayStation 5. You can follow me on ArielDean81. I repeat, ArielDean81 as in Ariel under the sea, Little Mermaid, Dean as in James Dean, and 81 as in the number that comes after 80. Just like Gus J. Swirl 7 says all the time, take care of me.